It is somewhat common in our day to hear unbelieving people in anger say to another, "Go to hell." Today, Brother Dan Corner of evangelicaloutreach.org is going to tell us what the Bible says about hell and why we all need to avoid going to hell at all costs. Hell is no joke. It is as real as you are, and going there is the worst possible thing that could ever happen to anyone. Listen very carefully to God's word and take this message to heart. This is very serious, for your soul is your most valuable possession.
Where do the spiritually lost go upon death? That's another way of asking, if a person does not inherit the kingdom of God, where does he go? The Lord Jesus was most explicit as he informed and warned his listeners about a real, true, authentic place. Jesus unequivocally taught there is a place of raging eternal fire prepared for evil spirit beings, where most people will also go to reside with the devil and his demons. Is it any wonder that the Lord gave his most awesome and stirring warnings that could ever be given about a place like that for the spiritually lost? We most commonly call that place hell. But regardless of the name, the details about hell, Hades, Gehenna must be noted and avoided at all costs. If there was ever an expert on spiritual issues that walked the face of the earth, it has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, what he taught and warned of, we better believe for our own good. Concisely stated, the Bible teaches hell is a place of fiery eternal punishment after physical death for those who die in an unrighteous state. Such people who go there are the damned or condemned by God. John the Baptist was the very first one to refer to it in the New Testament, and he did with these words, Matthew 3:10. The axe is already laid at the root of the tree. Every tree that does not bring forth good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. From that we learn, as many other places, that people are actually thrown into that fiery place. And here they are shown to be those who do not bring forth good fruit. Good fruit in the Bible is doing the will of God, believing in and following Jesus here and now in obedience. That is good fruit. John also referred to the Lord Jesus just a couple verses later, and he said something else about this fiery burning place, and this time what Jesus would do. Referring to the Lord Jesus, John the Baptist taught, "His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So for the very first time, the adjective unquenchable is introduced. That alone is terrorizing. Unquenchable means not extinguished. The Greek word for unquenchable is the word that we get our word asbestos from. It's the material used in fireproofing. If the fire of hell was unquenchable, it is inextinguishable. That shows it is a fire unlike anything we are acquainted with in this life. Jesus' first mention of hell is this one in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. "But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment." Again, anyone who says to his brother, "Raca," is answerable to the Sanhedrin, but anyone who says, "You fool," will be in the danger of the fire of hell. So Jesus actually taught words can send one to hell, but that's not all. We see in Revelation 21:8, lying, deceitful words can send someone to the lake of fire. But getting back to the Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 5, same chapter, verses 28 through 30, Jesus taught, "Pornography, lust in the heart, etc., will send one to this horrible place." But that's not all. He also taught, "Sins committed by the hand." Now, what could that be? That would have to include theft and the like. And that goes hand in hand with what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Then Jesus also gave us this passage about hell. Matthew 10:28. "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." According to this, hell is the place where both the body and the soul are destroyed. But biblically, that does not mean annihilated. They will be ruined beyond use, but still conscious, not annihilated. I'll prove that later. People that go to hell are condemned to hell. They are the damned, the ones Jesus came to save. Similar to the other passage from Matthew, we have in Mark chapter 9, 43 through 48, Jesus said, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes to be thrown into hell where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Just from that alone, if we had no other passage, Jesus is teaching avoid hell at all costs. Don't go to that fiery place after death. Get extreme if you have to, but don't go to hell. And that was exactly the Apostle Paul's attitude. Listen to what the Apostle Paul taught. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27. "I punish my body and enslave it so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified or cast away," depending what translation you're reading. Then we have this also from the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 12 verse 5. "But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after the killing of the body has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." The spiritually lost are thrown into this place we call hell. God alone has that power, and on that basis, we should fear God. No one will be in hell who should not be there, since God is just and he knows the heart of man. So if you're concerned about your departed loved ones, if they should be in paradise and not in hell, be assured they're going to be in the right place where they should be. The most stirring and fear-gripping teaching in the entire Bible is when Jesus recounted a dialogue from this place we call hell. In Luke chapter 16, 19 through 31, you can read of it. "A lost soul who is not named is speaking, and everything changed for him after death. This side of the grave, he had it easy. He was a rich man, he feasted every day, he dressed well, but then he died. Luke 16:23, in hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side." The actual Greek word there is Hades, but again, it's the place that we're talking about. He was in fiery torment and agony. He was fully conscious, he could remember his past life, he begged for mercy, just a single drop of water. Thought about his lost family, and one of them warned so they would repent. Luke 16:28, he said, "For I have 5 brothers. Let him warn them, so they will not also come to this place of torment." The word torment there in the Greek can also correctly be translated torture, a place of torture. And then in Luke 16 verse 30, it says, "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." So the man in the fires of Hades knew why he was there. He knew repentance is how one prevents himself from going to that place of torment where he was at. In the Old Testament, everyone upon death went to Sheol, which is the same place as Hades, and that's where both the righteous and the wicked went. There was an impassable gulf between the two parts, separating the place of comfort for the righteous and a place of fiery torment for the wicked, as Jesus taught in Luke 16, 19 through 31. Note, that lost soul in Luke 16, 19 through 31 was destroyed, but not annihilated. He was talking, feeling pain, and could remember his past earthly life. He couldn't help himself or his brothers, who were still alive, with a warning about fiery torment after death. He wanted someone to warn them. And perhaps this teaching will warn some people like that. Folks, if you have a family member who died and went to hell, they want you to be warned and repent to avoid joining them in unquenchable fire. They don't want you to join their company and be tormented too. Some say hell was not in the Old Testament, but that's not true. It is referred to multiple times. Let me give you a few scriptures. Here's a powerful one, very enlightening and descriptive. Psalm 11, 6 and 7. "On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face." Here's another one about hell. Psalm 21, 8 and 9. "Your hand will lay hold on all your enemies. Your right hand will seize your foes. At the time of your appearing, you will make them like a fiery furnace. In his wrath, the Lord will swallow them up. His fire will consume them." And then we have Isaiah 1:31. "The mighty man will become tinder and his work a spark. Both will burn together with no one to quench the fire." In the Bible, the spiritual winner is called an overcomer in Christ. Such a person died in a righteous state, that is, with a pure heart. Now listen to the contrast here. Again from Jesus, Matthew 13:41-43. The Son of Man will send out his angels and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. In a way, it's a winner-take-all situation. You either get the kingdom or you go into fiery torment. Matthew 13:49-50. Jesus said, "This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." It's not called hell here. It's called a fiery furnace, the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth where the wicked go. The righteous, on the other hand, will not be with them. They died in a saved condition. That is, saved from this fiery furnace that Jesus spoke of, and they will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father, a paradise kingdom. Jesus taught God is to be feared, and that is the real true God of the Bible. Here is more information about God describing that same truth. Nahum 1:2-3. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord takes vengeance and is filled with wrath. The Lord takes vengeance on his foes and maintains his wrath against his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. Again, Nahum 1:2-3. The lake of fire, or second death, is the final place of fiery torment for lost souls and is only mentioned in the book of Revelation. The location of hell is the center of this earth. And this is how we know that. After Jesus died on the cross, he went to the heart of the earth. Matthew 12:40, Jesus said, "Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge fish. So the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Peter then said that Jesus preached to the disobedient in Noah's day. 1 Peter 3:19-20. Through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. So the lost souls were in the heart of the earth where Jesus preached to them from. They were not annihilated. Know also that hell was heavily populated with all types of people from all around the globe. As we would expect, there are evil, vile, murderous people, rapists, witches, Satanists, but even so-called good people. I'm talking generous people who helped the poor and were kind, good neighbors, but who died with a heart that was not pure. At death, they will also go to hell. And the number of the people in hell is great because even sincerely, religiously deceived people who just trusted what they were taught by someone without personally verifying in the scriptures if it was true or false will also be in this fiery place called hell. Very sad, but that is reality, and it shows how important truth is and how dangerous false teachers are. Hell, besides being a fiery place, is a place that the people there are shut out from the presence of the Lord Jesus and from the majesty of his power.
The multitudes in hell would love to have the opportunity you do now to repent. Do not delay repenting. This might be your last warning. Turn from your sins and place 100% of your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Follow him until the end of your life so that heaven will be your eternal home. There is no eternal security. Visit our website for more soul-stirring truths at evangelicaloutreach.org.
God's mercy for salvation is accessible this side of the grave only. Remember that. Now's the time to repent if you're in your sins. If you're not following Jesus, not living holy and clean, you need to repent now. Another reference to hell by Paul is this one, Romans 2:6-11. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile, for God does not show favoritism. God's wrath and anger causes trouble and distress for lost souls. It falls on them who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil. Eternal security heresy says only people who never had a moment of saving faith will go to hell. Imagine that. That is not what Jesus taught, not what Paul taught, not what any of the apostles taught, yet it is taught boldly, openly, and many people believe it. To the once saved, always saved teachers, backsliders who are struck dead by God in their vile wickedness because they won't repent, don't go to hell, they go to heaven. Imagine that. They go to heaven based on that doctrine. Here is proof from Reformed teacher and Calvinist John MacArthur as he speaks out his poisonous false doctrine, which he calls grace. First, listen to MacArthur's announcer refer to the sin unto death and John MacArthur's answer later on.
You probably witnessed the devastating effect of sin in the life of someone close to you. Maybe it's an adulterous husband who's refused to forsake his sin. Maybe a close friend enslaved to habitual sin. Or even a church leader leading his congregation astray with false teaching. Sin robs, it enslaves, it deceives. And according to 1 John 5:16, there is a sin leading to death. A listener from New York asks about the sin leading to death in that passage. Does that apply to a believer or an unbeliever? Is that physical death or spiritual death? John?
As a pastor for many, many years in a church, I've seen it all. The devastating, horrendous destruction done by adultery, habitual sin, yes, false teaching. I've seen the robbery, the enslavement, the deception of sin, all of that. And then to the question, 1 John 5:16, there is a sin leading to death. It isn't a specific sin. In reality, it is whatever sin leads to death. And there is no specific sin that could actually cause God Himself, the Lord, to take the life of a believer, but that's what it's talking about. That passage refers to believers. And what it says is that a believer can commit a sin which will cause the Lord to just take him to heaven. He doesn't go to hell, he goes to heaven.
John MacArthur is just like all the other once saved, always saved teachers. They all teach identically the same. That is, a believer who backslides into outrageous vile wickedness and refuses to repent, God kills him in his righteous wrath and anger, and that person goes to heaven, not hell, because he was once saved. Shocking distortions of scripture prevail in our dark hour. Our days are filled with ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing like John MacArthur. Please know, if you or any person dies in your sins listed in 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 10, Ephesians 5:5 through 7, Revelation 21:8, just to mention three such passages, you will be eternally lost. Here's another very important verse related to all of this. It's Jude verse 7. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Now that occurred way back in Genesis 19 in the days of Abraham and Lot. Those spiritually dead and lost souls have been in fiery torment for thousands of years to this point. They are an example and were not annihilated out of existence, for they will yet stand before the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20. Similarly, don't forget the ones who were lost in the days of Noah. Jesus preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago. It was long ago, back in Peter's day, when he wrote of that. Then add another 2,000 years to this point, and yet another 1,000 years from this point, at least, to the great white throne judgment, and they will not be annihilated even at that point. This is very clear to show there is no annihilation of the wicked dead, but there are still people who want to believe that the wicked will be annihilated. Here's a quote from John Schoenheit as he wrongly tries to defend annihilation of the wicked dead with the words destroyed, die, and burn up, which he thinks equals annihilation. Listen to this.
Many people believe that to be thrown in the lake of fire, people burn forever. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that when you're thrown in the lake of fire, you are destroyed, you die, you burn up.
There is no question, folks, that the lost are destroyed, but that does not equal annihilation out of conscious existence. Were the Antichrist and false prophet annihilated out of existence when thrown into the lake of fire in Revelation 19:20? No, absolutely not. Over 1,000 years later in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, they will still be in torment, where the devil will also be thrown and tormented. Revelation 20:10 says, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever." The beast and the false prophet are names for the Antichrist and false prophet. Tormented forever, yet destroyed, died, and burnt up. We must interpret scripture with scripture. God doesn't care what your nationality is. If you're rich or poor, white or black, he looks on the heart. He doesn't want anyone to perish, 2 Peter 3:9, yet most people will. There will be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth in unquenchable fire, wrath and anger, trouble and distress from God, but there's even more. Outer darkness. Matthew 25, verse 30. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Internationally known Charles Stanley teaches outer darkness is in heaven, where some will be weeping and gnashing their teeth. Here is Stanley's teaching. Quote, where is this place represented by outer darkness in Jesus' parables? To be in the outer darkness is to be in the kingdom of God, but outside the circle of men and women whose faithfulness on this earth earned them a special rank or position of authority. Unquote. Shocking but true. Those are his words, not mine. So why does Charles Stanley want us to believe outer darkness is in heaven? Because the previously saved servant given one talent, but who brought forth no gain or no fruit in Matthew 25 verse 30, was cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. If outer darkness is hell, where the lost go, then the fruitless servant experienced spiritual death and lost his salvation. Though biblical, that is contradictory to what Charles Stanley is trying to get us all to believe. Stanley is refuted by the same scriptures that he claims to be teaching. It is fruit or fire, according to Jesus. John 15:6. If anyone does not remain in me, is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into fire, and burned. Then we have another terrifying passage in Hebrews about the fire beyond the grave. Hebrews 10:27, raging fire will consume the enemies of God. The context is backsliders who committed eternal sin. That type of backslider is the exception. All other backsliders can return to salvation upon repentance like the prodigal did. 50% of the saints from the last generation will miss paradise based on Jesus' teaching of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. In the end, there are only two places to go, paradise or fiery torment. It's all or nothing. We are now battling that will affect us throughout eternity. Jesus taught people will go to the fire prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25:41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And then in verse 46, it's Matthew 25:46, Jesus said, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Jesus said there is eternal fire and eternal punishment. The Greek word for punishment can be translated torment, making Matthew 25:46 read, they will go away to eternal torment, which fits Revelation chapter 20 verse 10 flawlessly and disproves irrefutably the notion of annihilation of the wicked dead. Some people are deeply repulsed at the thought that the scriptures declare the wicked will be tormented forever. And that is not good. Why is annihilation of the wicked dead so bad? If you believe in annihilation of the wicked dead, that belief will allow you to live for the pleasures of sin here and now with absolutely no fear of your own physical death and judgment afterwards, because you are thinking you will know nothing by way of annihilation, the same as it was for you before you were born. Annihilation for the wicked dead is similar to atheism, but in atheism it is expanded to all people. To the atheist, there is no conscious existence after death for anyone. Annihilation destroys the healthy hatred of sin as taught in Scripture. Proponents of annihilation say God's judgment is being annihilated, but that is no judgment at all to fear. But even more important, annihilation is not the Christian message. The Bible teaching is there's a place of fiery eternal punishment after physical death for those who die in an unrighteous state that were damned by God. The lost will be weeping and gnashing their teeth in distress, anger, and misery as they are separated from God and dwell in a place prepared for the devil and his angels. It will be torment with no love, no kind words, no pity from anyone. The absolute worst thing that can happen is to be thrown into eternal, unquenchable, raging fire beyond the grave where most people will go. The greatest danger to mankind is going there. That place is what Jesus saves from if he is really our Savior at all. You will have to be righteously different to get in God's kingdom by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you avoid hell and go to paradise, you will get to paradise because of the Lord Jesus Christ and because you had a submissive faith in him here and now. He must be your king, the one who is controlling and ruling your life. Hell is in the center of the earth where the fire volcanoes originate. Perhaps, just perhaps, when a volcano erupts, it is a little reminder from God to avoid hell at all cost. Hell is no party. Weeping and gnashing of teeth is no party. The lost this side of the grave can yet repent. They can get forgiven and they can make their lives count for God. Remember, there's only one way to be saved from such a horrible place, which your sins deserve. That one and only way is the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his cleansing blood. To benefit by what Jesus did for you, you must make it personal. He must be your personal Lord and Savior. You can get him by turning from your sins, including your favorite sins and idols, to serve and follow Jesus in a sinful world. Your faith in Jesus must be a faith that obeys and live holy. The Jehovah's Witnesses and Seventh-day Adventists reject biblical hell as well as adherence to universalism. They all dogmatically say there is no fiery hell awaiting the lost. They are wrong, very wrong. Some stumble over a bad translation like the New World Translation, the Jehovah's Witness Bible, but the chief major stumbling block seems to be how God's love has been distorted. Who could ever believe that God's wonderful love, his infinite love for humanity, could yield erroneous religious concepts, but it has, when human reasonings are exalted above the actual Word of God. God's love is not like ours. He's not only infinite, he is just and righteous, one who is capable of loving and hating at the same time. Jeremiah chapter 12, 7 and 8. I will forsake my house, abandon my inheritance. I will give the one I love into the hands of her enemies. My inheritance has become to me like a lion in the forest. She roars at me, therefore I hate her. To say hell is inconsistent with the notion of a just, moral, and loving God is blatantly wrong. Hell is not the common grave of mankind, as the Jehovah's Witness and Seventh-day Adventists want us to believe. And perish and destroy does not mean annihilate. In Matthew 12, verse 28, Jesus taught the body and soul are destroyed. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 17, Jesus said, neither do men pour new wine into wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst and the wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined or perish. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. The wineskins were destroyed or perished, but not annihilated. The wineskins still existed, but they were ruined beyond their intended purpose. That's the same word found in Matthew 10, verse 28, where it says that the soul and body are destroyed in hell. A consuming fire is what we know of in this life, but that must not be understood to be the fire beyond the grave, because that fire was prepared for the devil and his angels, who are spirit beings. But God is even able to make a fire that does not consume, as we see when he appeared to Moses in the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. The lake of fire is a blazing, raging, and fiery lake of burning sulfur. It's the place where the devil will be thrown in the end, and all who don't have their names in the book of life at death, as well as others. Revelation 21:8, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those that practice the magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Backsliders who don't repent and return to salvation, unfortunately, will not have their name in the book of life, and therefore will go to the lake of fire. Exodus 32:31-33. So Moses went back to the Lord and said, oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold. But now please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written. The Lord replied to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Psalm 69:28 is very similar. May they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with the righteous. The idea that once in a book of life, always in a book of life is wrong. It is not Bible. The worst possible thing that can happen to you is to go to hell. Jesus taught avoid hell at all costs. Get serious about serving God and following Jesus here and now unashamedly. Live holy. Go after souls. Spread the message of the Bible. And pray in faith and endure hardship and persecution for godly living. You are not alone with your sufferings. Make your life count for God. Run to win first prize. God bless you. Pass this message on to those you love and care about.
A valid warning is the result of a real existing danger. Every time the Lord Jesus Christ gave warnings to others, it was because an authentic danger did exist, and that even included his hell warnings to real Christians.